Hey, should we start?
Yes.
Why start now?
When the
can you start
people
over?
That you know don't like you.
He does not.
And treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Nailed it.
Thanks for Larry. I wanted to say this now. I forgot about it in the moment. When we had Rick Springfield on, you were very helpful in getting him to sing along. He actually sang along, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I gave him the lyrics.
In between, he's like, when the people that you know don't like you.
Yeah.
And
it's like singing a folk song.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
It was great. Well done, sir.
Oh, I figured we'd get some kind of performance out of him. I was hoping you'd just hand him the guitar and go, Jesse's girl, now.
I had a guitar right next to him the entire time. And I have something to thank Sam about in a few minutes for.
Rusted Root.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania band.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yeah. Are you?
And you're sitting there wearing a Pirates.
I hate this band.
For real? Well, we better turn it down.
I'm kind of tired of this song. This is every indie movie. Apparently, this has been licensed for every, like, Little Miss Sunshine style comedy of all time. Anytime they're on a road in a van, this song gets played.
Well, I actually played it on purpose because I'm sitting on the toilet this morning.
Oh. Okay.
And made me think of
Pittsburgh. Here we go.
Well, I should
and then,
clarify.
And then when you flushed, you thought of this song.
Thought of Cleveland.
Wow.
I see this story come up on my phone. That says it's from National Geographic's Traveler magazine, the best cities in the United States. Number one of 30. It says we partnered with Resonance Consultancy, a global destination branding advisor, to identify the top U.S. small cities based on unconventional metrics that we think lead to happiness. Green spaces, galleries, coffee shops, breweries, music venues, Instagrammable moments, and more.
Oh, no.
Out of the 30,
yeah,
number one, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Really?
They get number one on like a list like that almost every couple years.
It says, though Pittsburgh's iconic Iron City Ale is now produced an hour away in Latrobe, the burg is home to more than 30 craft breweries. Many of the suds are made and poured in rehabbed historic buildings, such as a decommissioned 1902 Catholic Church, the Church Brew Works, and 19th century school, 11th Hour Brewing Company in the... in the pipeline is a 50,000 square foot brew pub / museum.
Yeah.
The first time my brother came out to visit me, like I was out here for like 3 months. He came out and he had the big suitcase and everything. He brought me a 24 pack of Iron City beer and he brought like two t-shirts and a pair of jeans.
Very efficient.
Sam, you've been to Pittsburgh probably a bunch.
Recently.
Yeah.
And I think it's been over 10 years since I was there. But I walked away going, that is a really striking city and that nobody ever talks about right. that way. I mean, oh, yeah. I thought it was beautiful.
It is, especially if you come out of the Fort Pitt Tunnel and it sort of opens up in front of you all of Pittsburgh laid out, whether that's in the daytime or at night. It's a really stunning
sight. Yeah, with the Three Rivers meeting right there. The one thing about Pittsburgh that sucks, though, is the streets because it's kind of two triangles and a square kind of meeting at one point.
Yeah.
There's so many one-way streets that none of them are like running parallel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it gets real.
Because it's like a hub.
Yeah, and it gets real confusing and people like
Boston's like that.
Yeah
where it's just like trying to get into a city like that is tough.
A couple weeks ago, I had a very tight connection. I went to the Philadelphia game. It was the Philadelphia-Atlanta game on a Saturday night. And then I was one of the few, there were maybe a couple of us actually, who then made the flight in the next morning to go to Pittsburgh and go to the Steelers-Jacksonville playoff game. And I was landing probably at 10:30 in the morning. It was a little later than I like to get started. I like to be at a game for about 3 hours before kickoff, and I think kickoff is at 1. And so I'm driving from the airport, and my phone, I've got Heinz Field dialed in. My phone takes me off on some road, Montour Run Road, way before you get to the Fort Pitt Tunnel, which drops you into Pittsburgh. And I'm taking this sort of rural road, and I I said, well, there must be an accident or something. And it's winding me through these little towns, McKee's Rocks or something.
Yeah.
And I'm taking like very specific turns on small little streets. And then I get to this snow-covered street and it's steep and it's unplowed and I can't get up it in my rental car. And it says, Heinz Field is 200 feet up to the left. I haven't even crossed the river yet. I was like, God damn it. It just randomly took me to some place and said, Heinz Field is right there. And it was, I mean, I was 10 miles away from it in some neighborhood. And I,
I played the Rusted Root. Not to actually to talk about the National Geographic article. It's because Sam was in Pittsburgh. Josh, your homeland,
city of champions.
Yes, that wasn't the word I was going
to. Do you want him to talk more about the Jacksonville Pittsburgh playoff game?
While he was there, he picked something up for you.
Oh,
yeah. Before we get to that, does it piss you off that he's wearing your headphones?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Does it piss you off he's wearing them backwards?
I wasn't going to say anything.
But, not anymore,
but
guys.
When he was telling his story, I kept looking at his ear like, what's wrong with his headphones?
This is. I want to tell this story real quick. My son and his... my son and his buddy are trying to do a podcast called Lone Star, where they review movies and games and other stuff that has only gotten one star on like IMDb or whatever. And I'm listening to the first episode he sent me to get feedback, and I'm like, God, I don't know what they did with the sound. And about halfway through, you hear Alex go, oh no, Ben, your microphone's backwards this whole time. And he turns it around, and suddenly it's like, oh, I can hear them now.
That's great.
It's like driving with your e-brake.
So, Sam, do you want to present your...
Yes,
I'm
these.
So excited. Seriously, you know how excited I am.
These are mini smiley cookies from Eaton Park.
Eaton Park. You know how many drunken nights these bring
like
back
in it.
Oh, and you have to be drunk to appreciate those cookies because
they're not good.
Flat awful.
Well, thank you, Sam.
Yes.
How are my kids going to enjoy these?
Wait, you're not going to have one now?
Well, I'm going to wait later.
You're not going to tear it?
They're individually wrapped, too. So.
All right, I'll try one.
Okay, he's going to
even think about that.
Rick, actually...
Here, let's all try one.
I got two bags of these.
Rick Springfield had one
of
those.
Rick Springfield gagged down one of these cookies.
So basically, these are just for you people not familiar with Eaton Park. That it's just like it's a Denny's, basically. Yeah. You know
this is
I mean?
The place. If you didn't listen to the episode, this was I don't know, 10 episodes ago. Sam was talking about his mother lives in Pittsburgh.
Your grandmother.
Grandmother. Yep. I'm sorry. Yep. His grandmother lives in Pittsburgh, and she said, "Well, let's go out to eat at Eaton Park."
Oh, Eaton Park.
What a nice put on
a nice jacket, right?
Yeah. Broke out a dry clean shirt.
Eaton Park. Yes.
No, it's the Eaton Park.
And
Park.
And the thing with these is they were open 24/7. So at like 2 a.m., it was just the drag. When the bars close, all the drunks go to Eaton Park.
These cookies taste like they've been open 24/7.
Oh, yeah. Nope. This got good with that beer.
This is one of those food items that has no expiration date because they will never go bad. They're already there.
This is
go good, yeah.
This is like breaking down 3 years in and eating the gingerbread house that your kid
when you're so drunk you'll snack on anything. Now,
this is definitely better for building materials than
I wish you had eaten these last week with the bad beer. That would have been a great combination.
Here's the line on
your
the back.
Your stomach would have exploded.
There's a lot of history wrapped up in this little package of happiness.
Yeah, these things are historic.
It's pure nostalgia because it ain't great food.
You know what? That was one good bite, and that's about it for that.
It's so awful. I hate the whole thing.
Andy shoved the whole thing in his mouth.
I'm going to eat it.
Well, how many times have we said that? Well, we're off to a great start.
You know what? I have a topic we can talk. Unless, do you have something you want to talk about?
Was there any more majesty of Pittsburgh that you wanted to share?
Oh, God, really?
Not right now. Okay. We'll say that.
Can you tell us any of the other cities on the list? I'm just curious. Do you care?
No, I can go back to that.
It specifically said small cities, right? So they didn't...
They consider Pittsburgh a small city?
Well, what,
like a medium size.
What cities got kicked off the list? All the other 30 great
the
ones?
Big, the big urban places
so
that
Pittsburgh's like
you like
the first live. Great medium... Okay, city.
But you know what?
Pittsburgh's a great
place. I buy that. I'm real impressed with that place, and not a lot of people talk about it in that way.
Yeah, it gets a bad rap too from the '70s from all the steel mills and all the pollution.
Which
that
is,
stuff's right. way
which is not
up.
Even there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I asked now. This is officially a lull now. In
okay,
the podcast.
So here's I have.
Oh yeah,
this.
I found it.
Okay. Yeah, shut up, Josh. Why are you trying to steer things?
What's your favorite city around the country in the U.S.?
Probably the Bay Area, San Francisco. I mean, now it's very different than when I lived there late 80s. It's become almost impossible to live there without being a Silicon Valley billionaire.
Right.
But the combination of just kind of beauty and progressive lifestyle and just it's that vibe. We only lived in the Bay Area for 2 years. And Charla and I both went, oh, we're home. I mean, it was like I had lived in Texas and Los Angeles. She had lived in Chicago since she was 3 in Los Angeles. And we got there, and even then, we're talking late 80s, we had to live in a tiny little one-bedroom shoebox condo in San Mateo. She worked in the city, and I worked in San Jose, so it was kind of halfway in between. Weather, lifestyle, I fell in love with the Giants. I mean, it was just like... That was it. 2 years, and we still consider that, in a way, our favorite place, our home, essentially. So, yeah, San Francisco would probably be mine.
Pittsburgh's 1. Boulder, Colorado is 2.
Yep, I lived there as a kid.
Greenville, South Carolina is 3.
Wow, interesting.
Let's see here. Anchorage, Alaska.
All right, see, now the list is deleted.
Yeah. I'm betting Asheville, North Carolina is on there.
In this picture, it looks magical. With the Aurora Borealis and
that one day
seaplane and yeah.
Why are you picking on Anchorage? You don't know.
It's gotta be cold, man. Well, all the time. I mean, literally all the time. And then what about don't they have 21-hour days? Oh, great.
Sometimes
that's cool.
And then they have 15-minute days too.
Yeah, exactly.
Bounce it out. Annapolis, Maryland. Let me try to
Air Force or the Naval Academy.
No.
Come on.
What about what's your favorite city? You've been so many places.
Yeah,
man. Where would you like if you could live
Bay
anywhere?
Area,
you want, yeah?
I do like, but Seattle.
Seattle's great.
Seattle's
I do love Seattle.
We lived there for 5 years and I loved it. It's traffic's gotten bad now.
Sam, is this your first day? Right? You got headphones on backwards. You're not talking into the microphone. Do we need to go over the basics with you again?
But there are so many great places and things. I mean, I love Boulder.
Boulder's.
What about New Orleans? That's number 6.
New Orleans, I always feel like there. I've got gout when I'm leaving because I've eaten so much. I was there a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that's...
But besides the gout, it's pretty great. I love New Orleans.
Madison, Wisconsin. Reno... Let me just blast through these now. I figured out how to work the browser. Reno, Nevada. Healdsburg, California.
Oh, wow.
Sonoma County.
Wow. Huh. That's a great little town.
Santa Cruz, California.
Mm-hmm.
Charleston, South Carolina. Olympia, Washington.
Interesting.
Charlottesville, Virginia. Really?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't
right.
seem like the place to be lately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spokane, Washington. Huh. Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Okay.
I guess it's near Mount Rushmore. Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Asheville, North Carolina.
There we go. My prediction.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Portland. Mm. Is Portland not out there?
Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Kansas City, Missouri. Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, they're just naming places.
Newport, Rhode Island. Portland, Maine. Ooh, that does look pretty.
Portland, Maine is a beautiful town. That is a beautiful place.
That's a name. Yeah. You know, I was in a place a few weeks ago, which I had never been there. Capitola. It is beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Little,
where's that at?
Just slightly south of Santa Cruz.
Right.
And it's a tiny little town and a cute little downtown, and it's got its own little weather system there. So it could be cloudy and raining in the Bay Area. And Capitola, which is just over the 17 from Los Gatos, can be very nice, a little pocket enclave there. And Dwight Clark lives there. I went to have lunch with Dwight Clark, who is in the mid to late stages of ALS, which is a terrible situation. But he was hilarious. I mean, he was.
Oh, yes, I did. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really. If you don't know Dwight Clark, this iconic 49ers player, made the catch.
The catch.
Beat the Dallas Cowboys, send the 49ers to the Super Bowl where they won their first Super Bowl. So, but he told some great, great stories. And what I thought would be a very depressing day, and it felt like, what was the movie that won that? I can't believe By the Sea. Just one.
Little Mermaid.
Best actor. Splash. Was Casey Affleck.
Right.
Manchester by the Sea. That's what the mood felt like when I went in this gray mood, and we eight sports writers together, and we had lunch. And
what a prima donna.
And he goes down. It's just a few hundred yards down from his house. He goes down in his motorized wheelchair, an electric wheelchair, and goes through the town. And he was going to buy this restaurant before. Anyway, I'm getting way deep into it. It was incredible experience with Dwight Clark.
I bet.
Who's an inspiring guy. So,
where would you live, Andy? What's your town, if you could?
In the United States.
Yeah. Or are you thinking internationally? All right, let's open it up to the rest of the world. Why not?
I swear to God, if you don't let me finish this fucking list that you asked for.
I'm trying to have a conversation. I'm trying to connect with you. I'm trying to learn something about you.
Let me let that percolate for a moment. Well, I've only got half a dozen left.
Jesus.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Fine.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Right there on the river.
It says, the hot brown, an open-faced turkey and bacon sandwich napped in Mornay sauce, is as synonymous with Louisville as bluegrass and bourbon. I actually made a hot brown while I was looking up this list.
Can you think of like a worse name for a dinner? The hot brown. It's like, I haven't even eaten it yet.
It's like member of the Zombies. Is he the drummer? Hugh Grundy?
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hear the name Hugh Grundy, I'm like, how does that a Hugh Grundy? Hagerstown, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Pensacola, Florida.
Yep.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Columbia, South Carolina. That is a lovely fountain.
That is.
And Hickory, North Carolina.
Hickory?
I have no idea where that is. Sound like where Uncle Joe lived in Petticoat Junction down there with Hickory. Me girls are.
Oh, man.
Bathing in the water supply again.
The kids are loving this reference. Like this.
It's a 20th century manufacturing hub for furniture and textiles. Oh, that's where your couch was made.
Oh, there you go.
Hickory now finds itself heading our list of its hipster-friendly offerings, from tattoo parlors to vintage clothing boutiques. Craft beer enthusiasts gather at the annual Hickory Hops Festival, featuring more than 50 microbeers and live music.
Think Chamber of Commerce, like, puts tattooed parlors right up the top on there.
Yeah. That's a very boutique-y thing now. Yeah. My son just got his second tattoo, and if he had spent that much time researching and thinking and designing anything in high school, he would have had straight A's. But that was this intensive process. I mean, I had to respect the fact that he didn't just kind of, you know, go get a drunken, you know, Bugs Bunny head on his on his ass or something. But
I had a friend.
Tattoo story. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
God, I hope he doesn't hear this, because he'd kick my ass. I had a friend that it wasn't drunken, but he went out and got the Yosemite Sam tattoo, the back off thing. You know,
From the mud flaps?
Yeah, except it was so bad that it looked like Yosemite Sam was holding a couple dildos.
Well, that's a conversation starter.
Definitely back off.
Back off.
Just these two little things hanging off his head.
This guy was like,
you know, like every school has the badass, the one right. you like, that guy can beat up everybody in this town. You just don't. He was this guy. So nobody, everybody's like, oh, cool tattoo. Nobody would say one word. I live 3,000 miles away from this dude, and I'm still scared of him. And he was like, and he's one of my best friends. But yeah.
I came one time when my friend was getting a tattoo. This was just after high school, and it was early on. I mean, this is like 80s, so it was pretty exotic getting a tattoo, and he had a word misspelled. And it was a I love the guy, but it was just a dumb tattoo. It said Band of Gypsies and Tinkers, and I thought, it's like group of bums and deadbeats getting tattooed on your arm.
My best friend Tom Quigley, who's from Butler, the same town that I grew up.
I thought you said Down Under. Quigley Down Under? No.
He big Steeler fan, obviously, but also a giant Kiss fan. So he got a tattoo of Gene Simmons wearing a Steelers helmet on.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. I'm actually going to text him to see if he can send me a picture of it.
He went hybrid.
He's so proud of it. He's like, look, it's Gene Simmons, and he's wearing, look, you can see they only got the symbol on the right side of the helmet because it's Steeler helmet.
That's amazing. How do you fix a holding two dildos?
Well, so, clearly he doesn't. Is he conscious of it at all?
I don't know. I'm not going to ask him. I wasn't going to say anything.
But there's a tattoo artist who can do a tattoo circumcision.
Have you ever seen those guys like cover ups?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing to see what they can do with anything and just kind of incorporate some of the lines in the original tattoo. And then reincorporate that into something else so you will never know that tattoo is there.
I love the kind of what were they thinking meme that is all over the internet now where people have designed or created something that they don't know until it's finished and on public display that it looks exactly like a penis. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
It's like some guy designed this beautiful chandelier that's kind of draped down, but it's got the cylindrical shape, and there's a little mushroom head on it, and it's hanging in some beautiful palace. My favorite was around Christmas time. Somebody posted, I let my grandmother set the Christmas dinner table, and this is what happened. And you show this beautiful table laid out, all the silverware and the dishware and stuff, but she decided to get creative with the napkins and thought she would do like this weird napkin origami cloth napkins, but they all look like erect penises. Just the way they just, and she never, it never even occurred to
back off.
There's like nine of them all around a table. It looks crazy.
That's great. Gosh. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh my God! How does it always come back to this?
What?
Well, I was playing the Rusted Root.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Right.
And look what the playlist comes around to.
Oh, Gordon! Everything comes around to Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, this is the one. This is the one that just drives me up a wall.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that though. I was thinking when you played that song, it was the Super Bowl when the Steelers played the Seahawks, and it was in Detroit.
Did Pittsburgh lose that one too?
No,
45.
Oh, okay. Pittsburgh won that, but. Our media center was the Renaissance Center, the RenCen, which is a big complex in downtown Detroit. And it was actually kind of, the weather wasn't bad. It's what I'm hoping it'll be in Minneapolis, which it won't be. I mean, it was in the 30s.
What's the forecast?
Anyway, the high is, I think, of 11 the entire week. But I was walking around the Renaissance Center, and there's a little stone church there. And right in the middle of the city, there's a little stone church, and I walked inside, and it was the Maritime Cathedral, where all the wives waited there. And they have an Edmund Fitzgerald display, and it's where all the wives waited for word on their husbands who were on the Edmund Fitzgerald. So it was kind of cool. If you're in Detroit, it's a cool little church to.
Do they have the song playing on a loop?
No, but they do. They do.
Which
I mean,
seems kind of like a little too on the nose, maybe, and maybe a downer.
It is very clear. You know, the church bell rang 29 times or whatever. It's very clear that it. They've got the whole display there. That song really help promote that church. So
I don't really have a problem with the song per se. I just have a problem figuring out how did that become a hit. I mean, that was actually a hit record for him.
I don't know, played on
the radio a lot.
And it's 7 minutes
haunting,
long.
Though.
And
well,
it's
just the same. There was an edit. I mean, there was a single edit.
To this day, if you play, if I would have played it on the sound, I would have played the whole version 7 minutes.
And
long.
I did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
Yeah, I liked it. I like it because it's sort of haunting. It tells a story.
The problem with it is
contemporary.
It just repeats the same three. There's no like bridge or anything. And it's the same three chords.
It's a sea shanty.
For 7 minutes. And you're just like, it's one of those things that it's not bad if you listen to it for 30 seconds, but about 5 minutes in, you're just like, this is torture. It's the same three chords again.
It's like being on the boat.
I am trying to wrap my head around how does somebody go, I want to hear that again. You know, it's like once you've heard that little journey and you know the story,
right?
It's not an uplifting, tune.
And I picture people on the big boat doing the pirate
dance.
And
that's maybe the
elbows.
Like they're all passing a bottle of rum around and giving each other.
It's a pirate type party.
I think it's one of those where maybe it's one of those songs because I know I have these because I'm such a melody guy and it takes forever for the lyrics to sink in. Sometimes they never do because I don't care. And it might be one of those where people are literally doing that sea shanty thing, and then like 20 years later they go, oh, that's about like a bunch of people dying? I didn't know that. I drink beer to that song.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I kind of thought I was like the only one like that. I still don't know like the lyrics to... I spent like 10 years of my life just obsessing over Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know the lyrics to some of those songs.
That's
what I wasn't really listening to. I think that's just a guy thing.
I feel like that's a guy thing. Yeah. I hate to make these generalities, but it seems like men respond to stuff on a more visceral level and women tend to dig a little deeper. That's why love songs and ballads and certain songs resonate more with them. And I mean, I know men and women who can like quote stuff, and lyrics, but I've talked to so many other males who have said the same things. Like they just rock it out or they just like a song on a very surface level.
Robert Plant's probably pretty happy about that because his lyrics are pretty shitty. have you ever read some of those lyrics? You're like, the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, but
if it's not about sex, then I don't know what you're talking about, Robert, because this just does not make sense.
But they're pretty great if you're stoned out of your
absolutely
cord.
Misty Mountain Hop, well, we all can't get in line, get in line. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Michael Stipe.
Yeah,
REM named an album "Murmur."
Yeah,
because you can't understand what the hell he's talking.
And it was premeditated because clearly later on he decided, I'm going to start enunciating. It wasn't like,
right.
Was he ashamed of his voice?
He was purposely, he just wanted things to be opaque and, have your own interpretation or something.
All right, whatever.
But the funny thing is, it never bothered me because I loved the song.
I love the music too, but a lot of it's just free association, you know? The words don't make any sense.
Yeah, a lot of time, yeah. I mean, if you think about, I always, every time I hear it now, because when I finally kind of paid attention, Lights by Journey, which is kind of a great album rock AOR track, right? When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I want to be there in my city. Rhyme city with city.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, 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 oh. And then you're to the, and then he repeats that. And then there's a bridge. And then it's, when the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay. And it's like, you guys put zero effort into that. Oh. Thank God the melody's pretty cool, and you can hold your lighter up to it. So do that when later in the set when people are pretty stoned or drunk, so they don't give a crap what you're singing.
How about "Take the Money and Run"? The lyrics there.
Oh yeah,
the Steve
rhyming, rhyming taxes and faxes, and he knows exactly what the fax is. Texas and faxes.
Oh, man. Can we get Rick Springfield back in here to give him adulation for being the only songwriter I know of who has used the word moot in a hit song.
Which That's one? Right.
The point is
Jesse's
probably
Girl.
Well, yeah. Here's another.
Oh, the, but this. Yeah.
But the point is probably moot. It's like, dude.
Well, here's
nobody uses that word.
Another Steve Miller thing is what's in the Joker? He makes up a word that doesn't even exist.
Oh, the pompatus of love.
The pompatus isn't a word.
Even he has it explained.
He said he's like, I don't know what it means. I just made it sounded right well, when wait, I was wait, writing
wasn't
it.
Wasn't that something that? Junior Guitar Watson, his idol, the blues guitarist. It was something in a song. He had sang about a pompatus or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like something that he made up.
Yeah.
And he co-opted that.
And that was Steve Miller's. I don't even know if it was exactly what the original was. He took the jumble of lyrics and basically made it his own. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it
doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So.
You know what's a big kind of D-bag singer-songwriter move? I hate this type of guy, too, is when you hear your song and you go, hey, what's that song really about? And they're just like, I'm not going to tell you, man.
Yeah.
You
figure
it out. Oh, yeah.
It's
Or, you know what? It's what it means
whatever,
to you.
Yeah, whatever yeah, you whatever want it to mean, man.
Don McLean, who wrote American Pie, you know, for years people were asking, you know, what's your song? You know, what's about? What's the takeaway? What are we supposed to get from that? And I guess at one point he got tired of answering it. And 10, 15 years ago, somebody said, "So, you know, American Pie. What's the meaning of that?" He goes, "It means I never have to work again."
I listened to a song recently, Angie Baby. That's got a weird.
Helen Reddy?
Yes, that's a weird.
Why would you do that?
That's the more important question. What the hell were you listening to Angie Baby by Helen Reddy for?
Something took me down that road, and it's a bizarre. Did somebody else sing it too?
I wonder if a country artist covered it at some point.
Anyway, it's a bizarre. If you listen to it,
I'm not even familiar.
Oh, it's a story, right?
There's a whole story.
This was kind of like a
70s. Yeah.
Now listen to the story. Folks hoping you'd turn out cool,
but they had to take you out of school. You're a little touched, you know. Yeah.
You're a little touched?
Yeah.
Yes. Now listen.
Touched in the head.
Now listen to what happens with the boy who comes over. Now, it's the end of the song that's weird.
We gotta listen to all of this?
This reminds me of kind of like the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Yes. Now listen.
Picture her with Kermit.
This is not a Muppet song. Listen.
That's terrible. Okay.
Well, I think you might have gone too far.
Okay, so she's...
Did I go too far? I think we went too far when we started playing this song. Yeah.
And plus, we're going to get sued by Helen Reddy.
Some guy has been looking in the window, okay?
Yeah.
Comes in, and then he disappears.
Into thin air?
Into thin air, and they don't know what happened to it. She's crazy. He disappears, and it sounds like he's gotten sucked into the radio.
Huh.
It's bizarre. Wow. Do you have the lyrics?
Are you looking up the lyrics?
No, because I was looking up. I have this memory. What is it? Coward of the County by
Kenny Rogers.
By Kenny Rogers. There was a. Is it Becky? Yeah. There's someone for everyone, and Tommy's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky. and there was three of them.
Right.
That's Jeez. A top 40 record
there. The Coward of the County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I remember hearing that on the radio in Odessa, Texas, like, and it was a brand new song, and the morning team I was listening to came out of that, and they were making fun of that part. They were laughing at the fact that this poor girl, Becky, was gang raped on the radio. And, oh my, even then, in the 70s, I'm going, I don't know if you should be poking fun at that part.
That's
a tragic situation.
From stopping to there.
Stopping at her house is a neighbor boy with evil on his mind because he's been peeking in Angie's room at night through the window blind. I see your folks have gone away. Would you dance with me today? I'll show you how to have a good time, Angie baby. When he walks in the room, he feels confused, like he's walked into a play. And the music's so loud, it spins him around till his soul has lost its way. And as she turns the volume down, he's getting smaller with the sound. It seems to pull him off the ground. What the fuck is going on? Toward the radio, he's bound. Never to be found.
Wow.
Oh, there's more. Okay. Jesus, Sam. The headlines read that a boy disappeared and everyone thinks he died. Oh, twist. Except a crazy girl with a secret lover who keeps her satisfied. It's so nice to be insane. No one asks you to explain. Radio by your side. Angie baby.
That's actually, now, is that weird? It's weird.
That's pretty weird. You know, this reminds me. Just, this reminds me of Gina Grad's favorite song.
Which one's that?
What?
It's Dolly Parton.
Oh no.
Little Andy.
Late one cold and stormy night, I heard a dog barking. Then I thought I heard somebody at my door knocking. I wondered who could be outside in such an awful storm. Then I saw a little girl with a puppy in her arms.
Yes. This actually makes
Before
Gina cry,
I
doesn't
could
it?
Say a word, she said, "My name is Sandy." Sandy
That's
Sandy
creepy.
Is my puppy dog.
She came out of the radio
it's
too.
Little Andy, standing in the bitter cold in just a ragged dress. Then I asked her to come in, Mrs.
Listen to what she says.
What did she say?
Ain't you got no gingerbread? Ain't you got no candy? Ain't you got an extra bed for me and little Andy? Pat a cake, a baker's man. My mommy ran away again. And we was all alone and didn't know what else to do. I wonder if you'll let us stay.
I wouldn't let that creepy
Giddy
kid.
Up, trotty horse, go and take a meal. Can we stay all night? If you don't love us, no one will. I promise we won't cry. London Bridge is falling down. My daddy's drunk again in town. We was all alone and didn't know what we could do.
This little girl and her twin were in The Shining.
Yeah. She has a little dog.
Andy.
Uh-huh.
A little baby Andy. So what does she do? She has to bring little Andy and the girl inside to weather the storm.
Uh-huh.
I would call the authorities.
No, I would. Yeah, I wouldn't let her in. Like, good luck out there.
here's a buck.
Big heart.
Here's a mug of hot chocolate. See ya.
There's a 7-Eleven down the street.
Yeah, there you go.
So...
Maybe call social services.
They come in.
Leave her outside.
Should I give the spoiler there?
Yeah.
They don't make it through the night.
Oh,
they
don't,
wow.
They don't wake up.
What about Andy? Is he all right?
No.
Oh, both of them.
They're both gone.
Wow. I think they're both gone.
Do you remember two little boys?
I hope they're both gone.
Two little boys.
I mean, because I'd hate for one to have to live without the other.
Oh,
you know
I see. Oh, okay.
Laura.
All right. Mom left again. Dad's drunk. I'm grabbing the dog and going to the neighbor. See you guys.
Laura one time was, she was looking through a, you know, we have a bunch of children's books here. We have two children. She was looking through a Winnie the Pooh story. And there was a story where I think Piglet might have said it to Winnie. Said, "I hope that you live one day longer than me." She goes, "Oh, that's kind of cute." I said, "No, it isn't. You're wishing upon your best friend on the planet that their last day on this earth is spent in abject misery, in grief, because you're dead. And then they die.
And not a day longer.
Yeah.
She slammed the book shut and was like, you wrote everything.
It sounds like more of a curse than a wish.
You will live one day longer than me.
No more, no less.
Thinner.
You know, two little...
Thank you for getting that reference. Thank you.
Do you know Two Little Boys? That was a song that was haunting to me as a kid.
Two Little Boys. Who was that?
Rolf Harris. Two Little Boys by Rolf Harris.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, that was about two brothers in the war.
Is it good?
I don't know. As a kid, I found it.
I mean, it's not Angie Baby
emotional.
Good. It's not Rolf, Angie Baby good. But.
Rolf Harris, Two Little Boys.
We found all these storytelling songs.
It sounds. It won't sound good, but the lyrics are good.
Is this the same era? Was this just a trend, like, these storytelling songs?
Creepy lyric songs.
Oh, my God. This had like 3 million views.
Let's see.
What's it called? Two Little Boys?
Two Little Boys.
Two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse. Gaily they played each summer's day. Warriors both, of course. One little chap then
is
had
English?
A mishap.
Yeah. Broke this is a, his horse's head. It's written in 1902.
Wept for his toy, then cried with joy as his young playmate said, "Did you think I would leave you crying when there's room my horse for two?"
Oh, that's nice.
Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can go just as fast with two.
This went
skip ahead to the lyrics there.
This went number one in the UK.
When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers. And then... Okay, then...
They ended up fighting on opposite sides in the Civil War.
On opposite sides. And then...
One was gray, one was blue.
Oh, so this is an Englishman telling the story of the American Civil War.
Right, and then one of the boys gets shot.
Bit the dust.
And the other boy says, "Do you think I'd leave you dying?" And puts him on his horse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, nice.
Did the other boy shoot him? He's like, oh, shit, no. Sorry.
Well, see, that one's kind of nice. That one's
nice.
It, yeah, that's heartwarming. Yeah. The one you told earlier, Angie Baby, that was
bizarre.
That was super terrifying.
Freaky. Yeah.
Well, think about... You know, that's the night that the lights went down in Georgia. I mean, that's
right.
A freaking
Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah, Vicki Lawrence murdered her. what was it? Her sister-in-law or whatever it was. I forget how the plot goes, because that's the big reveal at the end, is that
right.
The narrator, the singer, is the one that did the murder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She killed an innocent man.
That's one body that'll never be found. See. Little, what was it? Little sister don't miss when she aims her gun. It's like, damn, girl.
Heavens.
Yeah.
My favorite is the Red Sovine.
Oh, no.
Talking Trucker songs. You guys remember those?
Yes.
Oh, like.
Phantom 309 and.
Convoy?
Come
Convoy.
On back and no, talk that's... to Teddy Bear. Oh, Convoy.
Yeah. Convoy C.W. McCall.
Convoy's fantastic.
You guys remember the movie Convoy?
Oh, with Chris Christopherson.
Yes,
absolutely.
Great.
Actually, really
me?
Good.
Yeah.
C.W. McCall Convoy.
Yeah. Rubber Ducky.
Yeah, this is fantastic. My favorite part of this? Oh, this is from the Mike Douglas Show, 1976.
Yeah, he did this live, quote, live.
Yeah.
He stood there on his CB and did it.
Wasn't that like
a
weird kind of thing, the CB, like a phase?
Oh, yeah, it was huge in the late 70s.
It wasn't a phase, it was an all-out craze.
Right, but I mean, it's like, but now it just doesn't.
No.
I had a neighbor that lived two stories up, right? And the houses are kind of close together. You know, they're not very far. Two stories up, two plots up. He laid down he went and bought like a gigantic antenna that laid like 3 yards across. And then my dad had to help him get it straight up so he could listen to the CB radio in his kitchen and talk to people.
My dad got into it. He had one in his truck, and he would just sit there and listen, and he'd we'd drive, you know, West Texas on these long, you know, road trips, yeah, going to Permian football games, and he would always be breaking in, you know, wear Smokey kind of stuff. He had all the lingo down. Truckers fucking hated it because they were using it to communicate with each other, and then basically this song kind of hipped everybody to the culture, and everybody started buying CB radios, and the truckers were going, shut up, leave us alone.
I bet they kind of like the company, though, to some degree. Like, my sister used to drive, she had this little tiny Dodge Colt, you know, 1979 Dodge, 78 Dodge Colt, little piece of shit, and used to drive that from Indiana to West Virginia, where she worked, and she'd drive it back and forth. And I remember her talking, you know, about, you know, talking to truckers on the way, and they kind of looked out for her. Like, one trucker ended up in front of her, another pulled in behind and said, "Don't you worry, little Colt, we got you in the rocking chair. We're going to take you all the way there." You know, so
I mean, it had that aspect.
You can make friends, and
it also had a super creepy aspect. And then it, in a way, it was kind of like the precursor to the internet. Because there is a moment where a whole lot of people are all kind of sharing the same space, and it got to the point where it was so oversaturated.
Right.
There were certain channels that were kind of meant to be. It was just understood that, you know, truckers were using it to kind of help with their routes or whatever. And then there was more of a
1-9.
And
wasn't that the main
Breaker 1-9?
And then other channels were more. You could move over to another channel, and it was kind of more of a social thing. But you would hear, you know, some kid get on there and go, "You sound stupid." And truckers would come back on and go, "Why don't y'all move on to another channel there?" It's like, and then nasty comments, you know, there was no regulation.
It was basically
on
the first comment section.
It was the first comment section.
Where somebody controls somebody. Yep. Says, "Shut up, you don't own me."
Check this out, though. This manly, macho song, right? "Big man, I'm a big trucker. I drive heavy machinery." Listen to the guys in the background singing the chorus. It's the gay man's chorus. "We got a mighty convoy." It's did you ever see Amazon Women on the Moon?
Yes.
When David Alan Grier is the black man with no soul.
Yeah.
"Hey, has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose?" We got this manly trucking song, and then, "We've got a mighty convoy," hey, with puffy sleeves.
We were talking about covering the song at one point in time, and then we were just like looking at each other like, "What are we going to do about that part?" We can't do anything. We just said, "Forget it. We're not doing it."
Oh, man, that is an era that has long passed, and a good thing.
I got yelled at on the CB radio for swearing one time when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, it was like this big voice of God came through. I don't even remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody. I was, you know, like 13, 14. And then I swore. I don't think I say anything crazy, but I swore it, and this voice just came through. It was like, "There's no swearing on a public air ban. Please cease swearing." And I was just like,
"Yeah."
I'm like, "They're going to find me." I'm like, "Okay." And I just turned it off and like went inside. Yeah. Some crusty old guy yelled at me for swearing on the CB.
I just remember a lot of truckers trying to pick up on women. If you ever heard a female voice on there, it'd be one. "Sound mighty pretty there, little filly."
I bet the CB radio was a watershed moment for the lot lizard, for the woman who found truckers irresistible,
yes,
and wanted to go to truck stops and hang out.
Yes.
I bet it was great for them. That, it was, you know, it was
and not bad for the truckers, as it turns out.
There's like recommendations. They're giving 5 stars at this truck stop in Waco.
Now, there were 40 channels, right?
I don't remember that many.
I want to say there were 40 channels on this.
That sounds right, yeah.
40. Yeah, my dad had one. Yes. We had one for years. We had one in
my grandpa.
What's the deal with those people? And I'm not judging you people that do this. But what's the deal with the people that put scanners in their kitchen and just listen to all day?
My mom used to do that all the time. As a matter of fact,
what's the
There's a very popular app. You can do it on your phone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to be snoopy. To know what your neighbors are up to see what's going on.
Yeah, but it's like always going off, too, and it's just
it's like
annoying.
The society page.
Exactly.
But I remember one time I'm driving home from wherever, from work or whatever, when I was, you know, 17, 18, and I'm coming home, and I get pulled over for not having my lights on or a light out or whatever. and my mom is listening in the kitchen. She goes, that license goes back to an Andrew Chanley, birth date, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. She's like, what's going on? What happened? She was freaking out by the time I got home. She's like, do you want me to tell you about your run-in with the police? I'm like, how the hell do you know about that? They call you?
That's
She's
great.
Like, no, I heard it
your
on the
Your mom was listening to a scanner.
To be listening
what are the
and
odds?
And I heard it at that point. Yeah. Now, I think that you can't buy all of those anymore. All of those crystals that show you, let you listen to the bands. I think that it's digital now, and a lot of it's encrypted.
Yeah,
but you can hear it on...
There are apps. I had for a while because I was momentarily interested in kind of seeing what the scanners were. I think there was a particular day where, you know, Miracle Mile area, there are times where you hear helicopters circling for hours, and you're like... Are we all about to die? Is the whole neighborhood, kind of crime taped off or something? So I looked up one of the apps, and sure enough, you could get kind of the most local. It was like a little map that would search either fire or ambulance or police.
This
you
is
had
like
your choice.
The 80s, 70s version of watching a police chase on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because back then they didn't really show that stuff, and now they take every opportunity to show that stuff.
I have to admit, I never did it. But I was interested. I thought it would be interesting to listen. Cell phones used to not be digital. Those are mostly analog signals.
Right.
And they were illegal, of course. But if you could find a scanner that covered those bands, you would be able to listen to and pick up just random
conversations
as people were driving by. I thought that would have been... I used to live like Hollywood and Highland, up in a high-rise. I thought that would have been endlessly entertaining.
I could be wrong.
To just hear random conversations.
I could be wrong, but I think they made those things illegal because you can also reverse it and take up that band so you can jam cell phone signals.
Oh, maybe so. I think. Well, yeah, because
it disrupts it.
Anytime
like that.
You have a, garage door opener or a walkie-talkie or whatever, and it says, according to FCC rules, this must allow interference to interrupt it and cannot interrupt something else.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure all that stuff's totally illegal. Well, what a fun time.
That was great.
Now you're off to go do the Super Bowl.
I go to the Super Bowl tomorrow. This is the app.
Sam being arrested.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I bet you can't rebroadcast this.
Don't say anything. What is the Burbank Glendale police fire in area?
Oh,
LA?
Now you told them. Oh, sorry.
What are they gonna do to me?
Oh.
And by the way, your tattoo looks like a couple of dildos. we're all in trouble. We're going to get sued by Helen Reddy. Josh is going to get beat up by his friend from 3,000 miles away.
So you're heading off today.
Head off tomorrow. Head off tomorrow, and I'll come back the Monday after the Super Bowl.
You got a prediction?
So, yeah, are you excited about it?
I'm excited. It'll be fun. Paige is going to join me. She'll come midweek, and... And so she'll go to the game, and she won't be sitting with me in the press box. But it's Super Bowl week's really fun. It's a great, great time, and so
I hear the Patriots are in it.
The Patriots are in it. I think 90% of the country is going to be rooting for the Eagles. Yeah.
Are you guys it feels like, remember how in the 80s there was that big run of the NFC just clobbering the AFC, and the Super Bowl was over in the first quarter, and it just was never not. I feel like the Patriots are doing the same thing. Like, I'm so disinterested in the Super Bowl this year because the Patriots are in it again.
Although all of their Super Bowl wins have been close.
But still, it's just...
They have those maps that they're showing right now of, Patriots fans versus Eagles fans for this game, and 99.5% of the country is green, and a little area of New England is red, and that's and then there's like one random city in like South Dakota or something. I can't remember what it was, but there was some little area.
My favorite meme so far was there was a bunch of Philly Eagles fans, and said something like, only the New England Patriots can make you root for Philly fans or something like that. only the New England Patriots can bring everybody together to be a Philly fan.
Yep.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out. I'm sorry it couldn't have been a liquor episode.
It's all right.
Yeah, sometimes it's okay actually be
we'll liquor next
coherent.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I don't even know her.
I'm wearing my Circus Liquor t-shirt that we bought when we
I
went out.
I one of those. I
like during
sharp.
The bunk beer episode.
I like it.
I don't understand why it says, what does it say on the front here?
Circus Liquors.
And on the back, it has the picture of the clown. It just says Circus Liquor.
So maybe that's why it was only like $5 or something. Yeah.
Consistency in the artwork. Hey, Andy, since we were telling stories earlier in song,
yeah,
you got one for us?
I do. When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Break one.
And there was three of them.
Shit.